Thank you so much, Vicky. I owe you a tenner for that, do I? I forgot. Like Vicky's family was so instrumental in my family coming to know the Lord. It was through Sunday school. Sam used to bring Niamh and Kieran, my brother and sister, into St. Mark's, into Sunday school, and that's how my mom started going to church, and then eventually I started going to church with my older sister, and how a family can be impacted by kids' ministry. And so just really encourage you, if those of you are involved in kids' ministry, youth ministry, it's families can be changed. And it's a privilege for me to be here. I know Noel, years as well. Noel and Sharon, Sharon was sitting there. Noel, you did say she'd be everywhere, didn't you? So Noel and Sharon were instrumental in me coming to know the Lord as well. And so I used to go up to the football training, and I'd go up an hour, 2 hours early and try to scab some dinner off them. So they opened their house to me, their flat to me, and before training, and I got to know them. And that was back in 96, 97. And the Lord's been good. The Lord's been good. And so thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. I really believe God has put a word on my heart for you. And when Noel asked me a while ago to speak, I knew straight away, and it doesn't always happen. Normally, I prayed into it, but I knew straight away what I want to share and what God had put on my heart to share with you this morning. And so I've entitled my message, Shifting Sands. And that's what God has put on my heart, Shifting Sands. And so I just want to pray. Father, thank you. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word and to share your heart with these great people, with this great church. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, would you anoint me now? Would you use me to speak your message, to share what's on your heart for your church this morning, Lord God? And we just want to say, Lord, we're open. We open our hearts to you. We open our minds to you. We open our eyes to you, Jesus. And we want to hear from you. And so, Lord, as we open your word now, would you bless it to us? Would you cause it to take root in our lives, Lord God, and cause it to grow deep within every single one of us? In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Guys, I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels as if life is going at 100 miles an hour. These past whiles for me anyway, I don't know if it's because of two small children, it feels like everything is just going so fast. It's like the days are rolling into the weeks, and the weeks are rolling into the months, and the months are rolling into the years, and before you know it, it's nearly September 2015. I don't know about you, but that really frightens me. It's nearly September 2015. For those of you that are from the 80s, this is the year Marty McFly is supposed to arrive from Back to the Future. That's how fast. If you want to know what the future's like, we're living in it. He's supposed to be here. We're supposed to have them jackets. You know that you pull it and it dries out? Dry jacket? I want one of them. We're supposed to have hoverboards. We don't have them. But it's like, time is going so fast. Everything just seems to be faster. I saw someone a while ago and they were getting frustrated in the queue in McDonald's because their chicken nuggets weren't coming quick enough. That's how, like, it's like, I want everything now, and everything's so fast. And so, and it's just an incredible rate. Society is moving and society is changing at such an incredible rate. And it's nearly like, how can I keep up? And sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I feel like, I just want to hit the pause button. I just want to go, pause. And we had one of them moments last week where Jack was his first day in preschool, and it's like you have this little, he wasn't that size, that would be like an egg, he was probably that size, but now he's like this size, and it's he's four, but you're like, oh, I just want to hit pause, I just want to slow everything down. And as I was praying this morning, that's what my prayer was, as we go into the word, that God would just slow everything down for us. And this would be like nearly a pause. Do you know what, in the Psalms, when you read through the Psalms, you'll see dotted in between the Psalms the word Selah, which means a holy pause, where the psalmist would be reading the psalm or singing the psalm, and then he'd have this moment of reflection and this moment of just pausing. Just wait. Let's just pause and wait. And wait on the Lord. And that's what my prayer this morning for us, guys, is that we would have this holy pause in our lives, where the word of God will hopefully challenge us, hopefully minister to us and bless us. And so we're hitting pause this morning. Let me just briefly give a story about where this message came from, because it was around about the same time Noel had asked me to speak. And I was going for a walk. I live in Greystones, County Wicklow, and I was going for a walk with Jack and the dog. And we were walking along the Greystones, along the beach. And Jack loves rock climbing, and we're climbing up. And I'm going, Jack, just be careful, just be careful. And I couldn't keep up, in fairness. Now he's like bombing ahead. And there's a sections of rock that you're climbing across. And then there's a gap. And there's like little sort of grass verge with sand and stuff. And then you take it off to the other rock. And I'm thinking, Jack, wait for me there. Don't run on ahead. Wait for me there. And I'm thinking, will we go down and go back up? And Jack's saying, no, we'll go across. And so I took his hand, but it was even so narrow that, and so I picked him up to carry him across. And you're like, you're sort of, it's this, you're like this, coming on the edge. And do you ever know when you're going to fall? Do you ever have that moment when your foot is gone? And it's like a pause moment and everything just stops. And you know, I'm gone. My legs have gone from underneath me. And I can't do anything to stop this or save this situation. And everything just goes slow motion. And so very quickly, as it's going slow motion, I'm like turning Jack so he takes the brunt of the fall. No, I'm not really. I'm not that time of dad. I'm not really. I was a good dad. I protected him. I tried turning, but no. But you're in the air. And my back was in bits. And Jack's like, what happened? Nothing. We're okay. And let's be honest, you're looking around to see who saw. That's the first thing. You don't care whether you've broken a bone or broken your back. You're looking around going, who saw that? Because that's the most embarrassing thing that's happened in ages. And you're like, thank God no one's looking. And as I'm like, Jack, why don't we go rock climbing? I said, no, we'll just take a moment and we'll just rest. We'll just have a little time out. And I literally was thinking, honestly, on the beach there, I was thinking of this story. And it reminded me of a story in the Bible that Jesus told. And Jesus loves telling stories. And he told this story. And it's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. And it's about these two builders. And I believe this story is very appropriate for us today in the society we live in and how everything seems to be just changing so quickly and so fast. And I'm going to read from it, and hopefully it might be up on the screens. And Matthew chapter 27, and Jesus says this. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against this house, and it fell with a great crash. Father, thank you for your word. Here's a story of two builders. One was wise, one was foolish. In Dublin, we'd say one was sound and one was a dope. One built on rock and one built on sand. Who builds on sand? A dope builds on sand, let's be honest. But here's some things that these guys had in common. They both heard the words of Jesus. And they both began to build houses. The houses here are symbolic of our lives. They're symbolic of that. These heard the words of Jesus. And this is the lives that they chose to build around hearing the words of Jesus. It doesn't say that their houses were any different. It doesn't say that they used like different types of material, one built with brick or one built with timber. It doesn't give any information like that. They could have been very similar looking houses. They could have looked very like exactly the same from the outside. They might have looked very much alike. These looked maybe identical houses from the outside. Both houses and both lives, though, were hit by a storm. That's what they had in common. Here's what they didn't have in common. One built on sand. And sand, as I discovered that day with Jack, is not very stable at all. It's not a good place to build. It might look good, and it might feel good, but that doesn't make it good. The guy building on sand, I could just picture him, and I try to sometimes picture the story, and he's building on sand. Where's sand? It's by the beach. And so this guy's probably building on the beach. He's looking at the view, and it's a great view. And look at this, it's fantastic. And it looks great, and it feels great, and the weather's great. Let's start building on this place right here. And this is fantastic. But just because it looks good, and just because it feels good, doesn't necessarily make it good. People who build on sand, as I said, are foolish. It's a lot easier to build on sand. Here's what happens when you have to build on the rock. in them days, they didn't have concrete trucks to come in and pour your foundation. If you were to build a house, you had to literally dig down through the soil, dig down through the sand, dig out all the excavations and find what's called the bedrock. And you had to find the bedrock. And then from there, they'd build from the bedrock. And they'd build up to the level of the ground. And then they'd fill in and then start building their house because it was under, the foundations were under onto the bedrock. You see, building on sand is easy. In this context, it was people who heard his words and didn't put them into practice. These are what we call the sand builders. Here's some characteristics, church, of sand builders. Sand builders pick and choose what Jesus has said, and they can take it or leave it. Because let's be honest, Jesus has said some pretty tough stuff. I thank God for Noel in my life. I thank God for Derek Switzer and Alan Sweetman, men of God who didn't just tell me, come to the Lord and it'll be a garden of roses and everything will be great. No, they discipled me and taught me how it was to walk with God and to listen with God and to be discipled by God, because Jesus says some tough stuff. Here's some things that Jesus says. He says, take up your cross and follow me. A sand builder be like, sorry, that doesn't really fit into my worldview at this moment in time. We'll just leave that one aside, Lord. Jesus says, if you have two coats and your brother has none, give one to your brother. Again, a sand builder be like, that's a bit like, I like my two coats. I use one at weekends and one for week. And sure, my brother should go and get his own coat. Lazy git. Should go get a job and get his own coat and let him buy his own stuff. Why should I give him what's mine? I've worked hard for this. I deserve all this stuff. Jesus, no, give. If someone's in need, give to someone's in need. If someone forces you to go a mile, let them go with them 2 miles. Lord, I want to get to the cinema later. The match is on. I'm meeting up with my mates. Do you mind, I gave the person an hour already. They want more time. If someone asks you to go a mile, force you to go a mile with them, go with them 2 miles. That's not even going into loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you. But Jesus says some tough stuff. But sand builders, they'll take this one. Not really that one. I'll have this. Grace, yeah. Love, brilliant. Mercy's fantastic. Sacrifice, maybe we'll put that one over here. Time, given my time. Given, tithing. Sticky, shared, tithing. I'll put that one over there. Maybe another day. And we can pick and choose. Sand builders pick and choose what Jesus has said. Here's what they build their life on. They build their life on the wisdom of this world. They build their lives on the philosophies of men. They build their lives on humanism and their own goodness. Sand builders don't need a savior. Sand builders are self-fulfilling, self-persevering, and self-sufficient. Self-righteously, they will declare, I don't need the rock as my foundation. I've got it sorted. But sand builders, the storm is coming. The storm is coming. And I'm not saying that to put fear. I'm just saying it's a fact of life, isn't it? The storms come. To whether you know the Lord or you don't know the Lord, the storms will always come. People who build on the sand have heard the same message as those who built on the rock. But instead of hearing his words and conforming their lives around his word, they hear his words and conform his word to fit around their lives. Let me say that again. People who build on the sand have heard the same message as those who build on the rock. But instead of hearing his words and conforming their lives to fit around his word, they hear his words and conform his word to fit around their lives. People who build on sand, truth is not absolute. It's relative. It's changing, dependent on society. And so if this is popular in society, well, this is what we should believe now. Truth is not absolute. There are people who believe there's no such thing as absolute truth. That's absolutely true. Or is it? I've always wanted to meet someone. I've read some blogs and some people. I'd love to meet one of them who have this idea that there's no absolute truth and ask them that. Are you absolutely sure of that? And just wreck their head and see what happens with their thoughts and go like, well, if I'm absolutely sure, then that makes it absolutely true. So therefore, it's just madness. You see, Jesus said this of himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say this, church, he didn't say this to be narrow-minded. He didn't say this to be arrogant. When you read the scriptures, there's nothing arrogant. There's no arrogant tone in Jesus. There's no condemning tone. There's no narrow-minded tone in his voice. He said this because it's true. He said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus says he's the life, it's because everything in him is life. He is the creator. He's the one who flung the stars into space and hangs the galaxies. He's the one who breathed into man. And so everything about Christ, everything about Jesus is life. And so if everything about him is life, then everything outside of him is not life. Because everything in him is life. And that's what Jesus was saying. I am life. Guys, if you want life, it's in me. It's not that he punishes us when we're outside of him. He's just saying, in fact, I am life. If you want it, it's in me. Come and have a full life in me because I am life and I will give you a full life. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. And this wise man, he built his house on the rock. And again, the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Church, people who build on the rock hears his words and conform their lives to it. People who build on the sand hears the same words but conform those words to fit around their lives. There's a big difference. It's nearly the same type of sentence, but there's a huge difference. People who build on the rock hear the words of God and conform their lives to fit around what Jesus has said. One of the greatest pieces of advice you'll find in the scriptures is a piece of advice that Mary gave to the servants at the wedding of Canaan. And she said this, Jesus had run out of wine, or the wedding had run out of wine, and Mary came and told Jesus, and Jesus was like, woman, why are you bothering me? In other words, mommy, I'm trying to enjoy the party. Will you leave me alone? It's not my time. And Mary turned to the servant and says, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Whatever he tells you, you do it. And if you hear Christ saying something, if you hear the Holy Spirit, do whatever he tells you to do. That's people who build on the rock because their lives is revolving around Jesus. People who build on the rock build on a solid foundation. For them, for rock builders, Christianity or following Jesus is not just a Sunday morning thing. It's an every minute of every day thing. Jesus is not someone that they just turn to in a crisis. He's an ever-present companion. He's their everything. The cross is not just an ornament to hang around their necks. It's the way of salvation. It's the place of divine exchange where they exchange their sinfulness and their shame for his righteousness and his life. It's where their dead lives come to life through the power of his Holy Spirit. And it's the place of total surrender to the plans and purposes of God. People who build on the rock have total trust in the foundation. They have total trust in the foundation. No matter what comes against my house, I trust this foundation. It will not move, it will not shake, because I've built my life on the foundation. Rock builders are not self-serving. They're not self-sufficient and they're not self-centered. They are Christ-serving, Christ-sufficient, and Christ-centered. The Apostle Paul says this to the church in Corinth, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. But on God's power. Guys, what are we building our lives on? What are we building? Are we building it on the rock? And only you can answer that. This is a personal question. Only you can answer. Am I building my life on the rock that is Christ? Am I surrendering everything to his cause and for his sake? Or am I just flirting around with Christianity? When I go to church and maybe I'm doing this and doing that and doing that. And I just encourage you to jump right in. Why would you be in the world and in the church and in Christ? It's probably the most miserable existence because you're not benefiting from either. honestly, I've chatting with teenagers and it's like they're doing this and doing that, and I've turned them and said, would you not just go fully into the world? Would you not just, don't come to church, just go fully into the world, because I believe that they will find out that it's empty and dead and it offers so much and promises so much and gives so little in return. It promises you life and gives you debt. Jesus promises you life and gives you life in all its fullness and all its abundance. And so it's time we need to start building on the rock that is Christ. I'm going to actually close. I'm going to call the worship team back up and we're going to have time to respond. It's interesting, and in this passage of scripture, just a few passages beforehand, Jesus is speaking about the false teachers, and beware. He says, watch out for the false prophets, the false teachers. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And I just wonder, I didn't think of this when I was putting it, but I was just wondering, I wonder, was it these false teachers who sold this lad this plot of land to build on sand? I wonder, was it the false teachers said, yeah, you can build here. Don't worry about digging down. Don't worry about, no, you don't have to sacrifice. You don't have to pray. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. What a load of rubbish we hear, isn't it? What a load of rubbish people will feed us. You can build on the sand. You can. It'll be great. It'll be grand. Sure, it'll be grand. And I guarantee you, when the storms come, there'll be nowhere to be seen. It won't be grand when the storms come. When the storms come, it won't be grand, and they will not be anywhere to be seen in your life. They'll be gone. Because Jesus says, they come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. They're self-serving, self-seeking. And they'll tell you to do this. Where, guys, we need to build on the rock. We need to build on the rock, on Christ. It's all about Him. It's all for Him. It's all by Him. We need to build our lives on Jesus, because the storms will come. They will hit both houses, but it's only the one that's built on Jesus, on the rock, that will stand. Edward Moot, I don't know if I pronounced his name right, wrote this hymn many years ago, and Hillsongs and other have adapted and have taken it. And it says this, it says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Amen? Let's stand. Let's stand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Father, thank you. I want to thank you this morning, Lord, that we can stand on the rock. We can stand on the rock that is Christ. We can stand. You know what, guys? I don't know where you are in the Lord. I don't know where you are in your life. And I suppose it's good, because I'm coming as a guest speaker. And so I don't know your history. I don't know your stories. But I want to encourage you this morning. And it's the greatest thing that I could do is to introduce you to Jesus Christ. It is the greatest thing that anyone could ever do for you is to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Because He is the rock of your salvation. He is the lover of your soul. He is the one who went through Gethsemane, who went through the trials and the shame and the pain of the cross to carry your sin, to say that I have taken your sin, I've taken your shame, I've taken it all so that you can build life in me and build a hope in me and build a future in me. And so, guys, as we're responding, the first people I want to respond is, if you don't know Christ, you know, it'd be wrong for me to go on and just let's close the meeting, let's go home. It really would be wrong. If you don't know Christ, I want to encourage you to surrender your life to Jesus this morning. I want to encourage you to give your heart to Him. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's a total surrender. It doesn't work any other way. It really doesn't. It's not about let's try get hands in the air. It's about you and Christ. It's about you and Jesus. It's about you surrendering your life to God. And if you're here, and you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that. I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes. I'm literally simply going to ask you to close your eyes. Why am I doing this? I simply wanted to do this because this is a decision between you and God. And so it's not looking around going, well, what's that person in front of me doing? What's that person? Which we all do it when our eyes are open. Our minds are thinking. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. Let's have a seal of time before the Lord. A pause. And if you know, with every eye closed, between you and the Lord, if you know, I don't know Jesus. I'm not building my life on that rock. But this morning you want to build your life on Christ. I just want you to simply lift up your hand and say, Jesus, I want to surrender my life to you. Just lift up your hand and let me see you raise your hand. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Father, thank you. For those of you, I think it was 4 or 5 that lifted your hand. But I just want to explain to you. Here's what's happening in your life. You are surrendering your life to Christ. You are at that cross when I talked about the divine exchange. You're exchanging your sinfulness. You're exchanging your old life for His new life. You are now inviting Christ not just to be a part of your life. You're inviting Christ to be everything in your life. And so what that means is that when you're making decisions about work, you think Jesus. When you're making decisions about family, you consult Jesus. When you're making decisions about college, you consult Jesus. When you're making decisions about whatever, you consult Jesus. He is now Lord and Savior. When you give your life to Jesus, you give Him everything. And I guarantee you then you are building your life on the rock. I will not guarantee you the storms won't come, because they will. But I guarantee you when you build on the rock, the storms won't touch your house. Your house stands. Your house stands. Guys, can we all pray this prayer? With these 4 or 5. Father God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. And Jesus, I thank you for going the way of the cross for me and making a way to be in relationship with your Father in heaven. I give you my life and I ask that you would come and live in me by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Cause me to live again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, we're going to... Amen. Give them a round of applause. It says where one comes back to the Lord, the angels rejoice. And we're rejoicing, witches, guys. Those of you that lifted your hand, we're rejoicing, witches. I'm going to come off the stage now and the guys are going to lead us into worship. But I just want to open up this altar here. And if you want to respond... If you've given your life to the Lord, I encourage you to come up forward for prayer. I encourage you to come forward. Maybe you've given your life to the Lord and you just feel, do you know what, over this last while, I feel like I'm on sandy ground. I feel like I've sort of slipped away from the rock in decisions in my life. And I feel like I'm starting to slip and I'm starting to slide on sandy ground. I encourage you to come forward, to receive His grace, His mercy, to get your feet back on the rock. And the other thing that God put on my heart this morning was there's maybe someone here and you just feel hopeless. And it was very particular as I was praying, is maybe you feel, you know what, I've responded to altar calls before and nothing's changed. I want to encourage you this morning to don't stop responding. Be like that persistent widow and keep persisting and keep persisting and keep persisting. Because God would say to you, your Redeemer lives and His victory is for you this morning. And you may feel hopeless, but we serve a God who is full of hope and His expertise is in hopeless cases. He takes those of us who feel so hopeless and have been there and He gives us a hope that is beyond what we can even hope or imagine. It's a living hope. It's a hope that's sure. It's a sure foundation, a sure hope. And so for those that maybe feel, you know, I just feel like I'm hopeless, I want you to come forward. And we'd love to pray with you this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's worship the Lord and let's respond to what He has said this morning.